Welcome to Thursday Night Mission. Come on in out of the storm, make yourself at home. You're on safe shore here in San Rafael, California. My mission tonight is to honor our community and all the communities that extend from our community. This week, my bearing is set on appreciating each other through hardship. I have a longitude drawn across our mission city from the studio to downtown to the music of the world. The line describes the local events here in Marin and beyond. My latitude is contemplative. Beacon Spotlight tonight is on essay reading. Talked about homeless here before, and I've got some reflection on homeless that I'll be doing reading. Also got a little bit of music for you. The two essays that I'll be reading tonight were written by myself, and the other readings, as you know, I always open and close with a reading, poetry or some such. It's from Indian Spirit. I've read from this book before, and I've got a few announcements to make. Local shows calendar. Thank you for joining me here at Thursday Night Mission between 9 and 10 p.m. every Thursday night, or a few minutes thereafter. I'll be a little more on time in a couple of weeks as the classes close down. And some of the DJs go off to do their summer things. The semester's finals have got everybody in a flurry here at Dominican, but we'll be broadcasting through Thursday Night Mission all through May and into the summer. Got some live music coming up next week. Some guitar and singing, I believe, too, if the man's willing to do both for me. I think it'll sound really good. Now, let me close those shutters and batten down some hatches and bring you in out of the storm. This broadcast is supported on Blogger. You can go to thursdaynightmission.blogspot.com. Anything you hear here that makes you say hear here, you can see there or link thereof. The first piece I want to read from Indian Spirit is about the Iroquois Constitution. This is from a Winnebago father's teachings to his son. Do not abuse your wife. If you make your wife suffer, you'll die in a short time. Our grandmother, the earth, is a woman, and in mistreating your wife, you're abusing her. Most certainly you'll be abusing our grandmother if you act thus. Since it is she who takes care of us, by your action, you'll be practically killing yourself. Never do anything wrong to your children. Whatever your children ask you to do, do it for them. If you act in this manner, people will say you are good-natured. Now, if you do all that I have told you, you lead a happy and prosperous life. It is for that reason that when the Indians have a child who they love, they preach to him so that he would never become acquainted with the things that are not right and never do anything wrong. Then, if in later life a person did anything wrong, he would do it with a clear knowledge of the consequences of his action. That is all. Another reading from Indian Spirit will come up a little bit later. First, I've got an announcement segment here, and then I'm going to go into my article with a little bit of music. There's an exhibition here at Dominican University, right in our mission city of San Rafael, California. The Department of Natural Sciences and Mathematics, in partnership with the National Park Service, presents Endangered Species Exhibition. This is at the Joseph R. Fink Science Center foyer right here on Dominican campus. It's open until May 18th. You can come from Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and see what they've got to offer in the Endangered Species Exhibition right here on campus. More Dominican news. Join the Dominican Sailing Club and university community. This is for students. Yes, it is also for faculty, staff, family, and friends of Dominican. So if this sounds good to you, perk up a little bit and listen about the sunset and full moon rise sail. Next Saturday, May 5th, coming right up here, from 6 to 8 p.m., you could take time out for a relaxing way to end the college year here if you're a student, or just start your summer if you're anybody. We'll take a sailing trip for 2 hours on the large schooner Seaward, berthed at the Bay Model in Sausalito. The boarding is at 5:30 p.m. There's free parking at the Bay Model's Visitor Center there in Sausalito. The address, 2100 Bridgeway. Turn downhill toward the waterfront at Marin Ship Way. Which one's Marin Ship Way? Just hang a left when you see 7-Eleven. Oh, unless you're going north, then it'll be all right. Anyway, it's across and down. Bay Model's a great visitor center. I recommend seeing that on its own. But that's the call of port for the Seaward. Again, 6 to 8 p.m. next Saturday the 5th. There's a boarding at 5:30 p.m. Now, they've got refreshments and, you know, wine if you're of drinking age. You can bring your own food if you wish. They won't be serving. Also, bring some warm clothes for changing temperatures. They're going to see sunset while under sail and moonrise as they return. Weather permitting, it'll be a Golden Gate Bridge trip. Price is $35 for Dominican students, $45 for faculty, staff, and friends. And if you've got a child age 12 or younger with you, it's $25. If they're 6 and under and you think that they're a salty dog, bring them along. They're free. There's not that much cost for this boat trip, and the processing fee helps nonprofits. So go ahead and register with the credit card if you like at the website of Call Out the Sea. The link is moonrisesailmay5.eventbrite.com. Again, moonrisesailmay5.eventbrite.com, and I'll have that link up later for you. If you've got any questions, contact Alice Cochran at 415-457-8997. Also, right around the corner here is graduation time at Dominican. We have Pathways graduation, save the date for the 10th, 5:30 p.m. on the Meadowlands Lawn right here on campus. There's the Pathways end of year celebration. Come celebrate the end of 2011-2012 academic year. Say congrats to all of the 2012 Pathways. Congrats. We'll be sorry to see them go. Thank you for listening to Thursday Night Mission. I'm Beacon, your host, your guide from the stormy airwaves to the solid shores of San Rafael, every Thursday night, 9 to 10 p.m., right after those farmers market. And I want to do a reading here from you from this essay. This has got a really long title, but it's a pretty basic dynamic, and it's a hot topic right now in San Rafael. When I was at a hearing in City Hall, and when I have heard of other hearings at City Hall, the dynamic of business owners in downtown San Rafael, especially in the 4th Street shopping area, have been complaining about problems with homeless. And this essay covers some of those problems. It's an ethics reflection called Reflecting on the Ethics of a Homeless-Based Dynamic. Imagine yourself in the following situation. As a downtown service business owner, you depend on and provide for a clientele that comes off the street into your shop as your livelihood. Within a short walk are most of the services you need during your workday, from fellow shopkeepers that provide you with services such as coffee, banking, and lunch. This can help your workday immeasurably since you need to focus your time and energy into keeping your business thriving in a difficult economy. When you go for your coffee in the morning, however, the cafe is surrounded by a group of homeless people with all of their backpacks and dogs, which feels like running the gauntlet when you're so sleepy you decide to go to another cafe. Later, when you're walking for your cash drop to the bank, a man aggressively panhandles you, which gives you concern for the safety of your money and your person. Finally, at lunch, you stare out the window at police officers arresting a woman with a shopping cart who's continued to yell loudly out front for some time. The whole time you're eating, you consider how your employee complained about cleaning up beer bottles and urine from the shop's front door. As you walk back into your store, you think about what the shop owner next door said to you last week. "No wonder sales are down lately. Who wants to come in there and spend money if they need to go through those vagrants out there first?" Well, while there may be a direct effect from homeless people spending time at business front and loss and potential profits for that location, this corollary has yet to be proven by anyone. It's a common perception among many Santa Fe business owners, though, to a high enough degree that fiery complaints by local businesses are submitted regularly to SRPD and voiced openly to City Council during public meetings in City Hall. For the Mission City of Marin, the problem of homeless people downtown has become a political topic that has heated the passions of the community. I've listened to a lot of words from people on all sides of the issue and have heard a host of varying opinions and ideas. While each perspective is valid in its own way, the complaints and proposals I've heard are often too self-centric to help me see the larger moral picture, as they reflect only individual people's viewpoints. I will look at this dynamic through the lens of ethics, seeking to illuminate some major elements to better understand the situation as a whole and determine whose opinions seem morally right. Business and homeless share some key similarities in the dynamic illustrated in the example above. Both contain economic challenges and sobering realities that stress their livelihood and escalate the conflict. Both can bring a person to struggle with choices that weigh consequences and decide on the lighter burden. Consider the consequences and the conflict of the homeless group congregating at that cafe. Being homeless means there's no property a person can go home to stand, sit, or sleep, no privacy, no restroom. It means constantly depending on other people's public or private property when you have need. Every piece of land here is owned by private parties or the public through agencies. The only certain way to avoid the risk of breaking the law when homeless seems to be to keep moving constantly. To do otherwise can bring jeopardy of legal action. Legal action, you say? I provide this far from complete list of citations that may apply to a human being who has no place to go in San Rafael to care for their needs. Loitering, trespassing, illegal camping, drinking in public, or possessing an open container, both are normally legal at home, or if you have a permit, by the way. Taking care of toiletry requirements could lead to charges of indecent exposure, littering, urinating in public, or worse. Even dwelling in your own car is against the law as illegal habitation of a vehicle. Our society in this part of the world has a strong tradition of utilitarian action regarding economic choices. Using the happiness principle as a guide, we tend to look at two sides of a conflict and score pros and cons to possible outcomes. We measure our ideas of good and bad, then make a decision after deliberate, impartial consideration. The choice we settle on, as best, using this method of reasoning, is supposed to ensure that the greatest good is done for the majority of the people involved, even when a minority group suffers. Thank you to listen to Thursday Night Mission. I'm Beacon, here on radio.dominican.edu, world-class Penguin Radio. I'm reading the essay, Reflecting on the Ethics of a Homeless Business Dynamic. We'll go into music and a calendar segment next. I'm going to continue reading on this essay for a little bit. That cafe allows people to buy coffee and lounge around their facility. can serve as a great boon to homeless people. They have a place to rest and use the restroom for at least a while, and a place to socialize. This allows them to feel safe and pursue happiness unless someone who's not homeless decides not to share the cafe area with them. An irritated shopper or shop owner may pursue happiness differently by acting to remove homeless from the location with a complaint to management or even a call to the police department. Such actions display the power of catering to just the minority rather than all persons involved and can be a weakness to the impartiality of a utilitarian model. The homeless in this case are the minority through economy and population. While each person in this conflict legally deserves to enjoy cafe if they purchase coffee, this utilitarianism indirectly dictates that those who have homes can usually dictate the outcome of such a situation with their choices, since they are the majority. This majority also has larger purchasing power that contributes more than the minority can to all the supporting local shopping. This, in turn, creates societal bias. In the end, a resolution favoring the majority's wishes is seen to be the best. So, decisions are sometimes made that take away a homeless minority's pursuit of happiness to ensure a greater number of higher-paying customers so that they may pursue happiness. Looking at the ethics of relationships illuminates the problem of business owners enraged over vagrant behavior and how it reflects the duties of all parties. The added stress to a business from loitering, littering, and other offenses can strain relationships that keep a service running. Every business owner has duties to their relationships that stem from the people connected to their work. Partners, such as investors, service contractors, and co-workers, depend on the profitability of a service, as does the owner. The families of these partners and their attached communities also depend on said profitability as part of their income. By standards of the ethics of care, a situation that lowers profitability of an owner's shop can threaten those relationships with harm. Focus on protecting the enterprise from harm is a morally correct attitude when upholding duties to either relationships or simply the sake of the business is a good in and of itself. A homeless woman yelling in front of a diner can easily be viewed as a deterrent to food service, as it discourages a happy eating environment. When faced with a choice involving their shop, an owner must consider the responsibility to uphold duties to all of the people affected by the business, if they're to make a morally sound decision, that is. The best resolution to a problem may or may not involve police, but I personally hope that that business owner would possess enough compassion to consider the conditions that led to the woman's behavior, which are obviously abnormal, and act as humanely as possible in any case. Ethics of care could also sway a business owner to attempt other methods of resolution, such as ignoring her or calmly asking her to be quieter or leave. If the owner considering what suffering is going to jail might cause a homeless woman who is mentally ill, they might be inclined to act out of a greater good and seek to avoid escalating a situation in order to minimize harm to her or anyone else. Being a good person involves striving to produce good results in our lives and the lives of others. Exactly what results are desired depend on the person and their individual values of right and wrong. A shopkeeper believes and acts on what they feel represents good shopkeeping. A clean, attractive storefront, turning a stable profit, superior customer service, happy employees, and so on. The pride that comes from doing a good job provides for a person's sense of well-being, and it also creates a standard for that person to compare other people to when deciding about what actions are good and bad. A homeless member of the community has a different set of values. Finding connections on the street of more importance than considering the nuances of yet another business they don't have money to shop in. To a person living outside, opportunities to better oneself take the forms of hidden sleeping spots, publicly accessible restrooms, and ways to obtain food, clothing, shelter, and showers. Taking care of fellows in like circumstance is recognized as common good among San Rafael's homeless population. I personally have seen more charity on more occasions among street people towards each other than I have in any other community. I find the virtue of inclusiveness to shine forth among people who have little to give, as the suffering of poverty nurtures compassion for other poverty-stricken. Whether or not a strong work ethic is popular in our society, the fact that all of us are human and deserve the same universal human rights cannot be credibly diminished. A homeless person is a person who has lost their place to live and all of the luxuries that come with a house. Just being down and struggling does not, in my opinion, reduce the importance of fulfilling those rights, and in fact may increase the need for them instead. Looking at the dynamic of business owners clashing with homeless over their hanging out at storefronts through the various lenses of ethics causes me to reflect on the rights and well-being of all people in conflict over this issue. While business owners may be empowered majority, the fact that the homeless minority are people with the same human needs and rights as the majority is not diminished. I believe the conflicts that grow from this dynamic represent the real feelings and best efforts of the people within them, however the results turn out. I also believe that the application of compassion from all parties can benefit any situation I've discussed. The example I open this essay with shows how easily a business owner might become concerned and angry over the perception that undesirables are impacting their efforts. Let me finish this essay by matching the above story with an idealized version of behavior that minimizes conflict and preserves our human rights as much as possible. In this version, we will assume all involved are acting as best they can to respect one another. When you go for your coffee in the morning, you spend some time outside the cafe making friendly conversation with the group of homeless people there. And when one man gives you a valuable insight while talking to you, you ask if he'd like you to buy him a cup of coffee as a token of your respect for his wisdom. Later, when you're walking to your cash drop to the bank, you see an opportunity to help a man begging for change and tell him you will give him something from your own pocket after you conclude the business banking. Finally, at lunch, you leave your table to speak with police officers that have arrived to deal with a homeless woman who is probably mentally ill. So, you plead with them to give her help as best they can rather than haul her off to jail. They tell you they will try to get her to move along, and if she cannot reasonably behave without endangering herself or others, they will make a decision to take her and her possessions to the crisis center rather than jail. When you return to the shop, you apologize to your employee for having to clean up the storefront, which is outside of the duties you hired them for, and promise to help clean up in the future. As you go home that evening, you think about what the shop owner next door said to you last week. "It's a shame that our brothers and sisters suffer poverty so. Maybe there's a way we business owners can start an employment program so that they have a means to afford housing and need not loiter about."
You are listening to Thursday Night Mission with Beacon, only on world-famous Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you for listening to Thursday Night Mission. I'm Beacon. It's time to do the calendar segment. I'm going to do a little music and the rest of my show here as we move into the second half of the hour. Here on Facebook, some of the things which I feel that you might want to go to that I've been invited to. There are a lot of good sites and things on Facebook. I'm thinking this summer of starting up another page to back up Thursday Night Mission at thursdaynightmission.blogspot.com. There's the Thursday Treasure Trove with links and secondary articles. And I'm going to make more of a Facebook presence and start networking there, sharing some of those things on the blog. So first, I'm going to look at First Thursday Band Showcase. This is a public event by Plug and Play Club. This is from 6 to 10 p.m., so they're going on right now. It's today. And I wanted to let you know because they've been doing this the first Thursday of the month, 6 to 10 p.m. This is at Studio 18 at the Plug and Play Club, 1353 Bush Street, San Francisco. Friends of Finch is also playing right now. I wanted to check this one out, but I'm here sheltering you from the storm, so I'm going to tell you about it. If you happen to be in Fairfax listening to me, when the show's over, Tom Finch will still be playing. Come down to Perry's for a night of jazz, funk, world rock. You won't be disappointed. Cinco de Mayo. Of the opinion, after talking to several people, that Cinco de Mayo is actually a bigger holiday here in California than it is down in Baja California. What I mean to say is it is quite the Americanized holiday. And really, in Mexico, you know, it's a victory. It's an important victory in their revolution and winning independence. But it's not. It's not their 4th of July. It is not their Independence Day. It is not the beginning of their year or their calendar. But up here, hey, you know, it's Cinco de Mayo. So Cinco de Mayo, Saturday, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Mestiza and DJ Alfie 1 at 780 Cafe. Okay, and this is also a San Francisco venue, 780 Valencia Street. It is ticketed $5 before 10 p.m. After that, I think they're just letting people in to come on in, and they're going to be celebrating Cinco de Mayo in true Bay Vibes fashion with incredible local Latin, funk, soul, salsa band called Mestiza. And, of course, one of their favorite DJs, Alfie, all going down at their favorite new spot, 780 Cafe. I quote this in here, strap on your sexy and come down with the fam. I'm not sure that's the accent you're supposed to use, but hey. Facebook's got no words to it yet that aren't printed. Oh, hey, that's the next thing. Okay, wow. Hey, we can all complain about it when they add our voice. Until then, you're hearing my voice telling you about Ray Obito and Mambo Caribe with special guest Juan Escovedo. This is local. Yeah, you don't have to go far for this. This is in the Sleeping Lady, Saturday, 9:30 to 12:30. That's late night at the Sleeping Lady in Fairfax, which is at 23 Broadway in Fairfax. The Cinco de Mayo, Sleeping Lady is very proud to present Ray Obito and Mambo Caribe. Please note, you'll most likely need to make a reservation to attend this show. It's going to be popular. It's a small venue. So they've got reservation information here on Facebook. If you want to look up The Sleeping Lady, they have a Facebook presence, and you can learn more about that. Every Wednesday, Musique with Seth Diggy and Frankie Fresh. This next week, 10 p.m., Seth Diggy, Frankie Fresh, in collaboration with the Nickel Rose Lounge, present Musique. That's with a Q. It's a weekly featuring only the finest in hip-hop, old-school, new funk, modern soul, and future class music you love to dance to with resident DJs every Wednesday night, 10 to 2. This is 21 and over, please, but there is no cover. That's nice. And last but not least, Cluster Funk at the Boom Boom Room. This is also another Thursday. You see how many things I want to go to? But I'm here with you. Next Thursday, after this graduation ceremony for the Pathways students after my show at 10 p.m., go to the Boom Boom Room. Get Cluster Funk. Join Rare Beat with Heavy Funk Juggernaut. Cluster Funk for a Thursday night throwdown at the world-famous Boom Boom Room. Where is that place we always hear about? 1601 Fillmore Street, that's where. If you're going to that, you might want to listen to me in your car at radio.dominican.edu because you got to circle around. The parking in that part of the city is a little rough. I'm going to play a little piece of music here for you now. This is from an album, Discover Indonesia. It's not quite gamelan. I don't know the name of this regional style, but it is a style of percussion music that I'm really, really enjoying. I've been enjoying a lot of Indonesian music lately.
You are listening to Thursday Night Mission with Beacon, only on world-famous Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
And that second piece was called Embroidering Flowers on Brocade. This was from a disc called China, Sounds of Our Stories. First I played some Indonesian music and then some Chinese traditional music. I recommend either one of those albums. the sounds of our stories, or discover Indonesia. And tonight here on Thursday Night Mission, I've been reading some essays. I'd like to read you another essay. And then I'll play another piece of music. And before I sign out, I'll do my end reading, another one from the book Indian Spirit. Thank you for listening every 9 to 10 p.m. to Thursday Night Mission here on World Famous Penguin Radio. I'm Beacon, your guide from the stormy airwaves to the stolid shores of San Rafael, California. That's right. Thank you for listening to me here at Dominican University, right here in Marin. This essay is another essay that focuses on the homeless. And it is another reflection essay, but of a different nature. It's called Responsibility to Our Less Fortunate Brethren. But I may, tonight, just call it No Sleep for the Rain. As I write this at 4:30 a.m., I've not slept tonight. The reason is simple, yet the reason is also quite complex. It is raining. Allow me to explain how this simple annoyance ties into my post's title, please. I've lived a third of my life homeless. This means living in conditions that are either classified as substandard housing or no shelter structure at all. For a decade and a half of my life, I've seen weather intimately and its effect on the mind, feelings, and body of people without a home. My own health has suffered from this, and I know hundreds of people, some intimately. Hey, hold on, station radio. And sorry about that. I didn't know how to turn the ringer off. I hope I didn't hung up an important call, but I don't take calls on this part of Thursday Night Mission. So, let's see. I believe that most people in my part of the world, having had adequate shelters for most of their lives, cannot fathom just how wearing living out in the elements can be, since they just haven't the experience to gauge its results. I understand this and dearly hope no other human need go through this experience, unrealistic as my wish may be. I never sleep well, if at all, when it rains. This pattern comes directly from my experiences on the street. Perhaps it's from the survival habits, perhaps just compassion, but I am nonetheless affected. I cannot help but worry about those of us going through the storm and homelessness. It obsesses me. It's raining and blowing wind right now as I type. Somewhere, not far from me, someone is feeling both grateful and miserable to be stuck living in a tent tonight. Many someones, actually. They're hoping their survival skill is sufficient to erect the tent properly. Or they're fast learning the hard way that it was not. There are so many questions I wonder about for them. Has the rain and wind ripped the tarp away that blocks the wet? Is floodwater soaking the tent and all of their belongings? Will cold and damp bring illness and weakness that may prove fatal in this environment? Will the tent slide down the muddy hill? Will it be too slippery out there to safely navigate that hill without bodily injury? How long will the storm keep one shut up inside an area that will not allow for standing or much stretching of tired limbs? How long until one gets cabin fever and goes out into the weather to escape insanity? Then there are more peoples without a tent, where they have disabilities that keep them from hiking into the wildlands and setting camp, or just don't have the motivation due to depression. The result is the same, no shelter. There is cardboard and sleeping bags to keep somewhat warm, should the rain not permeate them. Carports, the backs of businesses, and bushes can provide some break in the wind and rain exposure, but be gone from there by sunrise or citizens will call the police for trespassing or worse. The option to squat in a dope house or addict's motel room may be present, if you know such a person and are willing to put up with the abusive behavior, just to escape the weather without. Many are in motor vehicles illegally for shelter. The air becomes stifling in a closed vehicle after an hour, and opening a window means inviting wet and chill. Metal vehicles become colder than the outside temperature for some outrageous reason relating to thermodynamics. If one can afford the gas, it'll be much more comfortable running the heater, but risk suffocation, a silent, invisible threat. Boats are little better, but they afford more privacy. There are, in a few places, shacks built by homeless or abandoned buildings to squat in. These structures occur less and less often. Each year, besides being illegal, squatting means you have to defend your area from other squatters. Many of the competition are as desperate as you, or more so if they're strung out. So good luck keeping your spot safe and getting sleep in the rain. Other options include shelter programs. 500 beds for 1,500 homeless people here in Marin. Or, you could find a friend to beg a night's shelter from. This works for some nights, but not all. Both solutions compromise a person's dignity, personal freedom, privacy, and relations. After all, the Farmer's Almanac rightly claims that fish and visitors begin to smell in 3 days. So, attempting to sleep while homeless is a very difficult proposition when it's raining. I, myself, when able to sleep awake at any great wind bluster, heavy rain, just from years of such experience. Even though I awake on the bed inside an apartment, knowing there's no tarp to retie, or possible interaction with junkies or cops, I awake, worried all the same. In a few seconds after my primary reflection ensures that I and mine are safe, then the compassion begins to eat at me. Who am I to lie in a warm, dry bed while there are others suffering tonight? How can I not remember my trials as they're testing others right now? Are those fellows safe? Will they make it through the night? And so, secondary reflection fights to do its job, and I reconcile the situation. I justify my feelings to cope with my outraged sense of moral responsibility. I tell myself that I deserve where I'm at, since I fought hard to be here and had so many years of suffering to precede it. I battle with my conscience on these nights, and I lose. I always lie awake feeling guilty that I'm not sheltering more people tonight. I feel shame that I'm a member of a society that would let their brethren suffer when we have more than enough housing to shelter all. I feel rage that so many of us refuse to even be near a homeless person, much less reach out to them and help them on a stormy night such as this. So, I do not sleep, or I sleep poorly. Whether from habit or compassion, the rain always keeps me restless. I think that if I knew, beyond a doubt, that our homeless were provided for and had this reality to face, then perhaps I could sleep through a storm. Perhaps I could rest my aching body and exhausted mind knowing all were safe and no person allowed another to suffer needlessly when resources are available. Perhaps I could even, given time, with these utopian ideals, learn to forget old habits and enjoy the rain. Perhaps. If that ever does happen, I can die knowing the world is a better place than when I entered it. That would make my whole life's struggles become a reward. That would bring me the greatest of joys. To know my community cared enough about each other to nourish each other willfully.
You are listening to Thursday Night Mission with Beacon, only on world-famous Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
floating down a river, oars freed from their holds long ago, lying face up on the floor of my vessel. I marvel at the stars and feel my heart overflow. Transmissions will be sent when I am through. Maybe we could meet again further down the river and share what we both discovered. Then revel in the view.
listening to Thursday Night Mission with Beacon, only on world-famous Penguin Radio. Radio.Dominican.edu. The song we just heard was Aqueous Transmission by an American band, Incubus, blending Western and Eastern styles together. I love the frogs in the background there. Soon I'll be hearing the storm out there, and before sending you out, I want to do one more reading for you. Now, this reading again is from the book Indian Spirit. I've read from it a few times now. I really enjoy this collection of quotes. They are quotes, some writings. This is edited by Michael Oren Fitzgerald and Judith Fitzgerald. And it has an introduction by Thomas Yellowtail. Reading from page 106 here. I'm going to read two pieces. The first is from Inez Pierce named Smohalla. You ask me to plow the ground. Shall I take a knife and tear out my brother's breast? Then when I die, she will not be able to take me to her bosom to rest. You ask me to dig for stone. Shall I dig under her skin for bones? Then when I die, I cannot enter her body to be born again. You ask me to cut grass and make hay and sell it and be rich like you men. But how dare I cut off my mother's hair? It is a bad law, and my people cannot obey it. I want my people to stay with me here. All the dead men will come to life again. We must wait here in the houses of our fathers and be ready to meet them in the body of our mother. The second piece is by Brave Buffalo. He was from the Hunkpapa Lakota tribe. When I was 10 years of age, I looked at the land and the rivers, the sky above, and the animals around me, and could not fail to realize they were made by some great power. I was so anxious to understand this power that I questioned the trees and the bushes. It seemed as though the flowers were staring at me, and I wanted to ask them, "Who made you?" I looked at the moss-covered stones. Some of them seemed to have the features of a man, but they could not answer me. Then I had a dream. And in my dream, one of those small round stones appeared to me and told me that the maker of all was God, Wakantanka, and that in order to honor him, I must honor his works in nature. You've been listening to Thursday Night Mission. I'm Beacon, your guide from the stormy airwaves to the solid shores of San Rafael, California. I honor our community here and abroad through all of our connections. Every Thursday night, we'll be broadcasting through May. Have some live music coming up next week. That's right, one man and his guitar. And you've not heard him yet on this broadcast. Aha, new lineups. So I'm going to cork the barrel here, wrap this show up. This broadcast and all broadcasts are recorded for podcast and saved on the website at radio.dominican.edu. Look up near the top of the menu page with DJs and events, and you will see a live button with the radio the microphone picture on it. You'll also see listen to any show on demand. Click through that to get to the page with podcasts from my shows and all of the shows from student DJs, as well as sportscasts and special events. That's radio.dominican.edu. Also, if you want to listen to on the go, you can go to the bottom of that page. It's been moved. The button's been moved to the bottom right-hand corner down below the events. Click on that picture of a guy holding a cell phone in his hand. And that will let you listen live, whether you're on Wi-Fi or 4G or whatever works for you to get this streaming through on the internet. Thank you for coming here and having another Thursday night with me. I hear the storm out there. I'm going to open up the shutter here. It's been raining again, so the storm's not dry. Hopefully it'll be nice and bone dry next week. I can't wait till the summer storm comes. There may be some crickets in that one. For now, this is Beacon saying goodnight. Look forward to having you here back next week on Thursday Night Mission.
I'm telling you, if the 49ers had any defense, they might have made the Super Bowl. Tim Tebow may not be strong, may not be fast, but he can for sure throw the ball. San Francisco Giants, no pitching, all offense. Maybe if the Yankees actually spent some money on some real players.
I'm Brian Sanchez.
And I'm Case Dunne.
Are you tired of people who talk about sports but have no clue what they're saying?
Like this guy?
The Colts would be crazy to let Eli Manning go. I mean, they're going to go with this kid out of Samford, lucky? That's never going to work.
Because I know I am.
I am too, man. But there's only one way not to be like that.
And that's by listening to the Sports Report. Tuesdays from 6 to 8, hosted by Brian Sanchez and Case Donahue.
We're bringing you everything and anything that's happening in the sports world.
This show is nothing but sports.
Can't wait!